The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This. Name's Neville James. This is WTJX FM. And you know, you heard us yesterday. This is your NPR, like they say with Rakim, you know what I'm saying? The R station radio here in the Virgin Islands. Feeling nice, you know, headphones sung in, dope. Guys went to work, man. They didn't wait till Saturday. They knocked it out in between yesterday and today. Sounding good. I like that. I wonder if it's because that shout out last night for everybody. I mean, yesterday, the last couple of days for everybody in the gig and the important folks up at the mountaintop and all that stuff. I hope so. Sounding good. I want to thank all the guests yesterday, you know, anniversary show. People liked it. You know, that show yesterday, that was easily our best show. It was our best show. Sure, too. And we've had a number of awesome shows. Of course, you know, we've had clunkers and all that stuff. Things happen. But that's just how we are. We're real. You know what I'm saying? We're not here to fool people and, you know, do the misdirection thing, you know, like football. Send all the blockers one way and then send the runner the next way. You know, we're not doing that. No, but I want to thank the boss for being a co-host yesterday. She was an awesome co-host. I want to thank everybody who texted. You know, I got to bring up some of those. You know, Wallace Williams sent me a nice text yesterday. I'm going to bring it up at some point today about the Kentucky Derby experience. Actually owning a horse, Rick Pitino, a basketball coach, owning a horse that Kevin Krieger was riding. But we're going to talk a lot about that on Friday as well, because we're going to do a Kentucky Derby hour number two on Friday, right? So yesterday we had on the boss, and then we had on the delegate, right? And then the Department of Health definitely had to have them on the anniversary show. Because, you know, COVID, you know, we were born, you know, in the heart of the pandemic. And so we had to have on Department of Health, so Commissioner Tita. Of course, her name is Justa Encarnacion from up there in St. Peter's, along with the Notorious. We got two Notorious now. You got a Notorious DFG, Donna Fred Gregory. But we also got the Notorious TCHC. Ty Camille Hunt-Caesar out of the rack, right? She's the medical director for the government of the Virgin Islands. And that conversation, every time they come on and we talk about the travel portal and the rules and the regs and the policies and the evolution of how the policies are put in place, I get crazy feedback after that show. You know what I'm saying? So that was nice. And then we had Asbot Potter. Oh, no, we had Dux Cole, right? The executive director for not the commissioner, because I called him the commissioner and the boss had to correct me yesterday, right? He's not a commissioner. He's executive director of the Public Services Commission. He was on, along with Lorna, you know, she's a sister. She's a part of the family, period. You know what I'm saying? Good morning, Lorna, and all that stuff, right? Then we had on OP, you know, the man, you know, the myth, the WTJX legend. That is Osborne Potter. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Sweet back. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, call it that. You know what I'm saying? So, and then, of course, you know, we wrapped it up. Me and the boss, we wrapped it up. That was yesterday was a nice show for real. And it was really on the heels of a nice show on Monday, because we had on Donald Bow Monday. We had our number two on Monday. I know Bow was part of Yes, the Women's Coalition there. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Today is Denim Day, right? Today is Denim Day, April 28th. Wear your jeans, you know what I'm saying? April 28th, Denim Day. You know, so that was good as well, right? So it's been a great week. I reached out to Dwayne Henry, right? Because we didn't really drop any testing numbers yesterday because we were talking about vaccines and we just wanted to get an update as to where we are with vaccinations, right? But the most recent Facebook, right, the most recent Facebook data drop has a number that is so voluminous that I've asked my friend Dwayne Henry. And good morning, Dwayne, and everybody. And Janesta, you know, I love you, right? You know, you've been looking out for us, make us look good, right? And I think today, testing today is also in St. John at the Gravel Yard, Port Authority Gravel Yard. There was a tremendous number of, that's a monstrous number in terms of tests on St. Croix, right? And I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Somebody calling me on my cell, but I can't really answer because I'm down the area, you know what I'm saying? So, that's okay. But maybe that might be Dr. Ellis. Hopefully, yeah. If you're calling, 718-4555 is the number. That might be Dr. Ellis, or 718-0761. You could call in to explain that. And so I could ask that question. Yesterday, right, there was an article in the Avis, right? Not the Avis, the Avis, about an online theater group, right? And they host monthly improv skits, open mic at Serenity's Nest. And Saida Carter reached out to me. And I believe this is Saida Carter for Lisa Moorhead, right? And matter of fact, I can, you know, talk about, she told me about what they're looking to do, right? And they have, there was a on page 3 of the Avis, there was an article written by Tom Ader, the bureau chief, and they were talking about yesterday was Hubert Harrison Day, right? And she said that she started what she hopes is a valuable component for change and art activism, Act Out Ensemble, Theater of the Oppressed, and as a former politician myself, and a WEAR community member, and she would love to converse with me briefly about the intentions, platform, members, and vision for my organization. Most definitely, that got to happen. As a matter of fact, it happened Friday. Okay? So Friday morning, right? Saida Carter, and she's going to bring some other members as well. So we're going to set that up. It can either be online or, you know, they're going to come and make an appearance, right? So that's going to be in the 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. hour before we, you know, talk derby. Trying to get my guy on. I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to bring in to help me with that Kentucky Derby preview thing. You know, we're going horse racing. You know, horse racing is number one here in the Virgin Islands, even though we haven't had any live racing in years since the hurricane. So we're going to talk about that in the second hour on Friday, right? But in the first hour, you know, we're going to talk with Miss Carter and talk about the Act Out Ensemble Theater. Right, it's online theater, Act Out Ensemble Theater. It's Act Out Ensemble Theater of the Oppressed Virgin Islands, and they will post their third Forum Theater virtual performance on its Facebook page on Friday, and also host an improvisational skit and open mic for the general public, known as Free Up Fridays, from 7 to 10 p.m. on the last Friday of each month at Serenity's Nest in South River Bay. Okay, so I'm looking forward to speak. We've been talking, you know, today, you know, via social media, talking this morning and all that stuff. So I told her to listen out this morning because we're going to preview that. So I'm looking forward to talking with Ms. Carter about that. Because, you know, if you're talking Theater of the Oppressed, right? And just reading from the article, and you could get it in the Avis, right? Page 3, in the third column, the last paragraph, right, it says, Augusto Boal, a Brazilian theater practitioner, coined the term Theater of the Oppressed in the 1970s and published his book of the same title in 1979. In Theater of the Oppressed, Boal discusses bringing spectators into an active role with the drama, encouraging them to comment on social situations they see presented and suggest potentials for change, according to an editorial review of the book on Amazon.com by John Longhenbach. You know, so I'm looking forward to having this discussion because remember last week, right? We had a conversation with Mike Canton. And When he said he went to Brown University, that's when I asked him if he knows Clement White, Celestino White brother. Because Clement White is a lecturer, and this is the type of thing that he was talking about, you know, because he's a lecturer par excellence, and he likes to talk about, historical situations within the Western Hemisphere, specifically South America and the Caribbean region and Central America. And so, you know, I'm going to be doing my research and all that stuff. And we got to get Clement on at some point. So we're going to work on that. So, like I said, Calvert, you know, check with Uncle Clement or get Daddy to check with the brother or get Colette, right, to check with Uncle Clement to set up this thing. Can we go get Clement on to talk about that? Because he mentioned a name, Marty. You know, he likes to talk about writers. As a matter of fact, Edgar Lake, you know, we're trying to make an appearance to get him on because we're working with Wallace Williams to get him on. These are lecturers, people who like history, like writers, and all that stuff. So we're going to get that on. So we're going to work on that for sometime next week. But the jump start starts on Friday with Saida Carter and members of the Act Out Ensemble. And we're looking forward to having that discussion there as well. So now, today we got a great show today, right? We got Ian Tumble, because, you know, this is Carnival Week, and they're doing things virtually. Because we can't really congregate because, you know, of Rona and, you know, her unwillingness to just step out, you know, step off, like we used to say in New York back in the 80s. Step off, and she wouldn't do it. So, you know, we're still in virtual mode as it relates to Carnival. We're going to get out of that eventually. And then in hour number two, the Notorious DFG. Our original Notorious One. She'll be joining us. You know, they've been in the legislature for 100 days or thereabouts because April 11th was the 90-day. The 90-day mark, thereabouts, and so they're about 108, somewhere like that, and we're looking forward to having a discussion with her, so she gets hour number two, because she got a meeting this morning as well, so we'll get her out of here so she can get to the meeting in time, so we're looking good. But like I said, Dwayne Henry, I know he's going to pass on that message, because the number, right, and I'm going to knock out this number real good, real quick, right? Here's the numbers based on what we saw on Facebook. And we didn't get to touch it yesterday. Yeah, like I said, we were talking vaccines. Right? Overall, right? There was 3,097 tests. 10 positives. 3,087 negatives. That's a monstrous number. So I'm curious as to what transpired. Right? And the majority of it was on St. Croix. Because on St. John, we had 7 negatives and 0 positives. On St. Thomas, we had 158 negatives and 7 positives. That was a 22.56 to 1, right? But then on St. Croix, you had 2,921 negatives and 1 positive. No, I like it, you know. You check, I just wanted to know how, you know, we accumulate such a large number, you know. So I just want a verification. I'm not saying it's not true, just like a verification. That is uncharacteristically voluminous, right? So just want to double check that. Nationally, 32,927,091 positives, according to worldometer.info, 587,384 deaths. New York Times has that number at 32,203,090 cases, 573,001 deaths. Yesterday's data, New York Times, 1.127 million tests, 53,803 positives. That's less than 2%. That's a good thing. Hospitalizations are down to 44,171, and we had 696 deaths. When we come back, we'll quickly go over to Dow Jones. You hear the music in the background. First segment, you know, we're on our way. Looking forward to talking to Mr. Turnbull at the bottom of the hour. Analyze this on a beautiful Wednesday. It's a little rainy. Weatherman knew what he was talking about on Monday. We'll be back right after this.
You may be eligible for credit on your Via mobile, internet, or landline service through the Lifeline program. Lifeline is a federal program for qualifying low-income customers that lowers the monthly cost of important communication services. If you receive Medicaid, SNAP, housing assistance, or other government aid, a Lifeline credit may be available to you.
Contact Via at 340-777-8492 or visit the website via.vi/lifeline to see if you qualify.
It's important to know what's going on, but keeping up can be a lot, especially with those news alerts blowing up your phone, leaving you stressed and confused. So when you need some shelter, a safe haven from the noise, you turn to public radio. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and WTJX-FM is your space for respectful, thoughtful dialogue and reporting that breaks down big ideas. Bring yourself future moments of peace. Give online at www.wtjx.org.
I'm Jen White, the new host of NPR's 1A, a daily show that asks America what it wants to be. Hear from people across the country, listeners like you, with conversations for the relentlessly curious on the issues that matter most. Join me next time on 1A from NPR.
One A weekdays at 3 p.m.
And we are back here analyzing this. And of course, you know, one thing I do when I reach out to my people at the Department of Health, they don't respond. So yes, what had happened, right? They were actually catching up. So that number is correct. As a matter of fact, right, the number is actually updated because they had some pending, right? The positive number was originally 2,695. Now, you remember I mentioned 2,921? So that's what they were dealing with. They were just catching up, okay? Okay, no, that's a little different. The positive number right now, based on the page, on the web page, right, has the Virgin Islands overall positive number at 3,090 and our negative number at 97,365, right? Right, so what we're doing, right, is we're trying to find out, right, why it is we had this high volume of negatives, or high volume of testing, and according to this, he said, it's really a data entry thing, right? So all of those were from that week, okay? So they do a weekly thing. That's what I was. But new negatives that had or been reported, hadn't been reported yet because of the data entry. So it's really a data entry thing. Part of some of the little things you really notice when we put out our daily report. Yeah, so they still, you know, remember they were doing the migration thing about 6 weeks ago? So it looks like they're still working out the kinks. To make that actually more finite. So we're working on that as well. So that's what it is. But the bottom line is we like the direction and the numbers. And yesterday when we were talking with Commissioner Encarnacion and Medical Director Hunt Caesar, and we were talking about, you know, the collaboration between the Department of Health, Tourism, the Governor's Office, everybody involved. Right. And she actually was correct when she, because I mentioned, you know, right now we're doing well. You know, we're a top spring destination. St. Thomas number 2, you know, St. Croix number 8, St. John number 9. You minding them there with that Christiansted and Cruz Bay thing, Mr. Engineer. You know what I mean? They're trying to, you know, the whole island of St. Thomas, Not Charlotte, Amali, or Red Hook. The whole island of St. Thomas. But only Christiansted and St. Croix and Cruz Bay and St. John. I'm not having it. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're coming to St. Croix, you're getting both Christiansted, Frederickstead, everything in between. If you go to St. John, you're getting Cruz Bay, Coral Bay, and everything in between. You know what I'm saying? So St. Thomas number 2, St. Croix number 8, St. John number 9. And the commissioner was right. She said, well, one of the reasons why we're doing well is the reason why we're so high as a destination is because we're doing the job. We're doing well. And I like that. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes you got to give yourself some credit because everybody just wants to blame you when things are bad. Nobody wants to give you props when you're doing your job. So you're absolutely correct. Right. And we like that. And yesterday's conversation, right, was good because we're seeing the evolution of the parameters that they put in place. For example, you know, your vaccination, right? I remember now they had a 4-month thing attached to that. And, you know, right now they're looking at, you know, expanding that. And in the conversation with Dr. Hunt Caesar yesterday, you know, the one thing that we learned, right, is the vaccination process and getting vaccinated is not a be-all, end-all. It's not the end of the game. This is a continued work in progress because they're still analyzing data and studying, you know, how this thing is impacting us and, you know, what parameters we should put in place. And one of the parameters is the 4-month parameter with respect to, you know, your vaccine or the negative PCR antigen test or the positive antibody test. So all of that, you know, we're working on that. And that's what we do here on this show. You know, the name of the show is Analyze This. And we're trying to be analytical. You know what I'm saying? And get the public to embrace real, you know, thought processes. Don't just believe Neville or whoever on the show because I said so. You know, let me break it down. According to KRS, to the very last compound. Let me break it down to the very last compound. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I can't help myself. So that's what we're dealing with. Yesterday was pretty flat on the market. On Wall Street in the marketplace. The Dow closed at 33,984.93. Went up 3.36 points. 0.01%. Flat. 14 saw gains and 16 saw losses, but nothing major or significant in that regard. So, yeah. So, I'm still walking and chewing gum at the same time. I'm talking to Ms. Carter, Saida Carter right here, making sure that I ain't said nothing incorrect. So it looks like we're a go, right, for Friday morning. We're going to work with Zoe Zimmet, the producer, to link with them and, you know, set them up so they could, you know, we're going to figure out, you know, if they make a personal appearance or they're going to call in. Cause, you know, we're trying to make sure that we accommodate people here. And we're still in the COVID window, so we try to be as careful as possible. So that's what we got. So looking forward to breaking that down, talking with the Act Out ensemble, okay? And then don't forget today, right, the Women's Coalition of St. Croix, they host the revival of the child sex abuse drama with Speak Out and panel discussion for SAM, okay? SAM being Sexual Actual Awareness Month. Not SAM, SAM, S-A-A-M, and Child Abuse Prevention Month, okay? So this afternoon at 5 p.m., okay, Silence Speaks, Secrets Revealed, Redo, Speak Out, Panel Discussion. Denim Day is on Wednesday. That's today. You know, we encourage everyone to wear jeans and join us on Zoom starting at 5 p.m. for a very important discussion for our community. And this is from Ms. Deborah Benjamin, the Women's Coalition from St. Croix Communications Coordinator. Okay, visit WCSTX.org for more information, or you can call them at 340-773-9272. Call them and you get, you know, all the information with respect to how you could tune in to this discussion. In the first 3 months of 2021, Women's Coalition of St. Croix counselors provide services to 23 children who experience sexual and or domestic violence. A total of 48 adults who experienced sexual violence were offered assistance in the last 3 months of 2020. These are horrific numbers for a small community. You know, a lot of, you know, ill people. And then, you know, some of us are more civil than that. You know, we're not engaging in that type of thinking, but you know, we really got some predators out there. And we need to be careful. You gotta be, you know, sensitive to what they're dealing with. Okay, the revival of all 26 episodes of the Women's Coalition of St. Croix's radio drama on child sex abuse, Silence Speaks, Screens Revealed, will start the virtual event. And following the broadcast of the episodes, a panel discussion on justice for victims and survivors of sexual violence will be held, featuring guest experts from government and other public service agencies. A survivor of sexual violence will speak, and committee members will have opportunities to share their opinions and experiences during the discussion of what justice means for victims and survivors of sexual violence. That's this afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be held on Zoom. Okay? So, like I said, visit WCSTX.org for more information or call 340-773-9272. Okay, so that's what we at, and that sets us up. It's 8:30 straight up. We got Mr. Ian Tombo from the Division of Festivals within the Department of Tourism, right? That's how you say it?
Yes, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, how are you, sir?
I'm great, and yourself?
I'm good, happy carnival, virtual.
Yes, happy carnival.
Yeah, I know that yeah. It's hard because, you know, this ain't what we're looking for. We need a village and nightly music and events and all that, but we're trying to make the best of a bad situation, right?
Yeah, I was just driving down the hill, and I was like, man, you know.
Rough.
Rough. You know, Sunday was rough because of, you know, one of my favorite events is boat race.
Mm-hmm.
And then today would have been another one, food fair.
Yeah, that's right.
The hill and not being able to, and not having traffic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of with no traffic, just, you know, glide down the hill like it was nothing, and I just think, man, this really, really sucks.
Yeah, it's not good. We got your boss on the line too, Commissioner Joe Bashalti. What's up, Commish?
Good morning. How you doing, sir?
Like,
good morning, Ian.
Ain't really all that good because it's carnival, and you know, we ain't really doing it like we normally do. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is, right?
Yeah, it is what it is, but we got to look at it. We're in a better place than we were last year at this
for
same
sure,
time. So,
for sure, from a directional standpoint
and from, you know, at least understanding better, you know, about the virus. And we have done an exceptional job as a territory in managing the pandemic locally, especially from a tourism standpoint. If you'd have told me a year ago the U.S. Virgin Islands would not see one cruise ship in an entire year, and our tourism product would be where we are today, I would tell you no way. But, you know, like, tough times brings opportunities. And for the tourism department, we had an opportunity to refigure our outlook and our targets. And we focused on marine industry and the overnight guests 100% when we pivoted. And we're seeing the results right now. I mean, our tourism product is huge. Our airlift into the territory is better than it was before the pandemic and before the hurricanes in both districts. Our hotel occupancies are the highest in the region. Never before has that happened. And our average daily rate for hotels is the highest in the region. Never before. So we've been fortunate to take a very, very difficult time. And it's still difficult for many across the globe as the pandemic rages in certain parts of the world. But we're fortunate here in the USVI that we have done an exceptional job led by Governor Bryan and Lieutenant Governor Roach and Commissioner Encarnacion in keeping the health side of it strong and the tourism department, as has been over the years, carrying the load in keeping our economy thriving.
Yeah, well, I was going to tap into that before we break down the virtual festival thing. One of my friends, Joey Hollins, he sent me a couple articles. One of them had to do with, one of them, you were actually quoted big time in the first one, but we're going to get to that one afterward. The second one, and I mentioned it earlier, and I've been mentioning it on a daily basis, where the top 10 destinations, according to TripAdvisor, St. Thomas 2, St. Croix 8, St. John 9. So all three islands in the top 10. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
right, right.
So that validates what you've been talking about.
Yeah, I think what we've seen is that, you know, people have pent-up demand, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, for us, you know, the U.S. traveler has been allowed to travel throughout the U.S. throughout the entire pandemic. So, you know, you've been grounded in your respected states, and different states have had different sets of protocols, but our airports in the USVI have never closed, same as Puerto Rico, same as all the United the states and in the continental U.S., and even Hawaii and Guam, but there have been different restrictions. So people have been traveling throughout. Now, what we've seen over the last 3 months or 4 months now as we end April is that more people are traveling, as we see from the data with TSA, throughout the U.S., and that has helped us because we have been very, very strong in demand to the territory. But what we've seen now has been the vaccination distribution across the U.S. has reintroduced the 65-plus traveler to the U.S. Virgin Islands. Historically, that traveler has been very strong for us, particularly over the winter months, lots of snowbirds, people travel into the territory. But for the entire pandemic up until March, that demographic wasn't traveling at all for obvious reasons.
But one of the things that actually, I don't want to say serve as a catalyst because we were already attractive prior to, but it actually gave it another bounce, was vaccine tourism.
Right?
And you were quoted as saying, we are not marketing for vaccine tourism seekers. Our objective is to reconnect with paradise, have fun while on vacation, said Bushelty, adding that it wasn't turning them away either as long as supplies were available for locals. Quote, we are like many African American or Caribbean American people that are a little hesitant to take the vaccine, so we don't want to have a situation where because our usage levels are lower than expected, that our allocations into the future get impacted. So it was a number of different dynamics in play at one time, where you get an inventory for your local residents, you have some reluctance locally. Some folks, the snowbirds are here, they're taking advantage of it because some of them can't access it where they come from. And then the word gets around, and then people decide, well, look, I want to get away where I'm at. So let me go to the Virgin Islands. I go get the sun and sand, and maybe the vaccine could be available as well.
Right. And we've seen, and I think that point that you just read in that quote is a key one, is I think if you ask me, where our people are in terms of vaccination, I would tell you that much more people have opened up to the idea or have even taken the vaccine in April than when we were looking at it in January.
Of course.
And I think it's just an education process, and I think it's also a process of opportunity, right? You know, what we know now that if you have kids in college, most colleges or almost all are going to require you to be vaccinated to come back to campus.
Yeah.
So that's another group that back before you didn't know if you had to do it. Now the colleges and universities, at least in the United States, are coming back to tell you, if you come back to campus, you have to have the vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
What I would be willing to wager a significant sum of money on, if you plan to cruise, you're going to be vaccinated.
That's right. That's right.
You won't be no option of maybe you could bring a negative test. No, you're going to cruise on a ship, you have to be vaccinated.
No, you know how to follow sports. And one of the things that with these sporting events and groups, they're basically telling you when we get back in full throttle, you better come vaccinated. They're telling you straight up.
Right.
Come vaccinated.
And just to tie it back. So I think as we continue to move, at least locally with our vaccination plans. The governor has a date of July 1 to have a 50,000.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to start to see people that may not or who have been on the outside looking, i.e. college students, you're going to start to see a little bump up in that. And we wanted to make sure that we don't lose our allocation because, you know, we may have been a little slow to the draw.
You know what's going to happen, right? They're going to increase our allocation. because they want people to get vaccinated. And if that's happening in the Virgin Islands, then the logic would be, well, look, let's make as many doses, but at the same time, you got to manage it because you don't want them to go. You don't want them to go to the by the wayside if then when they're available. You can hear the music in the background. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we get Division of Festivals director, right? The director?
Yes, sir.
Director of Festivals.
Ian Turnbull back in the conversation. We'll talk the virtual thing and continue to talk about how COVID's impacting tourism and carnival here in the Virgin Islands. Analyze this. Overcast Wednesday in Paradise. We'll be right back.
Bank of St. Croix, we provide the ability to bank anytime that fits your schedule. With in-person, online, and mobile app banking, you have access to your personal or business accounts anytime. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay at 340-773-8500 and one in Peter's Rest at 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR's Morning Edition. Our goal is to bring you news that matters, to keep you in touch with information that you need to make sense of the world in what can seem like a senseless time. Over the course of a day, a week, a month, the news unfolds and we're there with you day by day. Listen to Morning Edition every day.
Morning Edition weekdays at 5 a.m.
Tune in to Conversations with AARP Virgin Islands. Listen and watch to get news and information on upcoming events as well as informed conversations with agencies and community organizations.
On WTJX-TV Channel 12, Fridays at 8:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., Saturdays streaming live on AARP Virgin Islands and WTJX's Facebook page Tuesdays at 11 and live 11 a.m. at 93.1 WTJX-FM Conversations with AARP Virgin Islands.
and we're back in business. I got a text message here from Supervisor Carolyn Fox, and she said, don't forget tonight, you got the president. You know, he's going to be giving his address, 99 days in office. I think today is day 100. And she was saying he'd be flanked by two powerful women. Of course, that's Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States. So you are absolutely correct. Shifting things locally, we got Commissioner Joe Bushalte, Department of Tourism, and his Division of Festivals Director, Mr. Ian Turnbull. Good morning, gentlemen, once again.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, good. So this is supposed to be Carnival Week, Mr. Turnbull. Typically, village open Friday or Monday?
Well, so what we were actually going to do is we were going to actually open the village from Wednesday last week.
Mm-hmm.
And what would have happened would have been a cultural day. And we would have started from that Wednesday. Then the Thursday would have been Junior Calypso. And then, of course, the general date is Friday, which is the normal date for opening up the village. And then so we were tacking on like two extra days to the carnivals. Same thing we would have done in St. Croix and in St. John, around like a day or two extra, just because our village and boot owners specifically, you know, that's one of the cries that they've wanted for a while. So, you know, we found a way that we could do it and still not, you know, and still be able to manage the funding, you know, the right way. So we would have had an open village on Wednesday. Yeah.
So it would have been Wednesday, because remember back in the day, village used to open Monday, and then and then it got pushed back to Friday, right? Because the demand for it was so real.
Increased.
Yeah, yeah.
Demand is now coming back again.
Yeah, so yeah. Oh, it's gonna be even. It's gonna be even greater once we decide when it's gonna be. And Commissioner, you're in the demand business, right? That's what it's about, tourism.
Yep. We create happy experiences.
That's right. So. What is the Department of Tourism providing virtually for the people, not only of the Virgin Islands, because since it's virtual, it's now a global carnival. What are we providing in absence of the real thing?
So we've already kicked off. So we've already kicked off, you know, our series that we call Festival Arts Dialogue. We did it in St. John last year. It turned out well. We did it again in St. Croix. It was well received, and so we're just continuing in that vein. One of the things when I came into this job that I wanted to do, I felt like, you know, Virgin Islanders love our carnivals, but you know, I wanted to increase the level of pride that we have in what we do. And I think that's just an educational thing. I think that's a situation where we have to educate about the past. In order to know where you're going, you have to know where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where these dialogues have came into play now. And because of COVID, you know, they get to be highlighted. So Monday we had Road to Royalty with the Queens, where we had five former queens, including, you know, the first recognized queen, which was in 1952, which was Mrs. Carmen Sibley.
Mm-hmm.
So we had five of them just talking about their experience, how they got to wanting to become a queen and the process. And that was engaging and fun. We did that in collaboration with your partner, WTJX. So big kudos to Tanya Singh for seeing the vision and joining us in producing this one for us. So the collaboration was great. And then last night we had VI Calypsonians, which had, you know, local St. Thomas Calypsonians basically sitting and talking about their history and the music. Again, you know, sometimes I feel like there's a disconnect between the young and the old. So this is an opportunity to bridge that gap, you know. And so the conversation went over very well. Then tonight we're going to have costume making. So we have three individuals who make costumes here locally. One of the things, again, that we're trying to push is home. We don't necessarily have to go out of town to get somebody to make costumes for us. We could have people here locally make these things, and then just showing that and showing why we do what we do. And so that conversation is going to be had tonight. And that's the first iteration of what we're doing. And then instead of going with multiple events, multiple virtual performance-based events, we said, no, let's do something that's going to change the narrative in the Caribbean. Let's do something that's going to push the envelope in the Caribbean. No one has set out and said, let's do a vaccination event. Very, very risky, you know, when everybody's eyes is on you. So we pulled up and we said, let's do one night, one fete. We were fortunate enough to collaborate with Farmer Nappy and get him to join us to accompany our local talent, Spectrum Band, VI Cool Session Brass, Legacy Band, for one night of events. So, you know, we tapped into the Department of Health. We said, listen, we're going to come up with some guidelines to make sure that this event happens. And the guidelines that we're going to do, we want them to become the blueprint. In the Caribbean, for other local promoters, for anybody who wants to tap into this, you know, way of executing. And so that's what we did. You know, we've had the idea for some time. But we finally, you know, we recently got the green light, and you know, once we get a green light, the Vision of Festival is just ready to pull the trigger, you know. And so we're excited. In order to attend the event, you have to be vaccinated. You know, we take your name, we vet it through Department of Health, and then on the night of the event, you get your entry, and you know, so it's gonna be like a mini village. We won't have any vendors because, again, this is the first time we're doing something like this here that's dubbed a mass gathering event.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, of course, the hope is that we see the success of this and then could say, okay, all right, so now let's add in a food vendor. And all of this is so that we could get down the road, you know, towards normalcy, you know, where we could really, really, really push the numbers of attendance and so forth, you know.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I like that. Of course, you know, the name of the show is Analyze This, so I need to get into the numbers here with the commission. Commish, normally, what's the economic impact of the Virgin Islands for Carnival?
Well, that number has been bantied around 20 million, 30 million, 40 million for the, you know, the 10 days to 2 week period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, when I say bantied around, because we really don't fully know what it is, you know, these numbers come out of Bureau of Economic Research, based upon extrapolating what the tax payments are from gross receipts during that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's something that we have to focus better on. But we all know that a lot of people who make money during Carnival don't pay taxes on the money that they make. but the realities of it's a significant jolt to the economy, and it allows for visitors and residents and the diaspora to come back and enjoy, you know, our culture and keep that moving.
But sometimes we get that money indirectly just from money circulating in the economy, though.
Exactly. And so you know, all of the food distribution centers, for example, and then they come bring the food, and that the dollar circulates multiple times in the economy. So it is definitely a positive. It's something that we actually have on our radar now to really go back. I think, Ian, you have the numbers from St. Croix that we did in 1920. Because we did get the number from 1920, show that it was a very, very positive jolt.
You mean 2019, not 1920.
2020, sorry.
I like that one, yeah. 2019 into 2020.
Into 2020,
Yeah, the numbers kind of showed us, you know, and this was based off of IRB and BER. It showed about 9 to 11 million. That year.
Okay.
So if you're just looking, and I think there was a change of like probably 2 to 4 million. I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me, but that was shocking for me when I saw it. I was like, okay, so wow, this thing really does make an impact in a true numbers, in a number platform where you could see this here, you know, in taxes and revenues. Of course, like Commissioner was mentioning, you ain't gonna get a full impact, because some people may not, you know, some people ain't going to necessarily put their information out and tell you how much they make. But at the end of the day, it's right around 20 to 40 million dollars. Of course, we want to make that jump higher. Mm-hmm. The possibility of that, and I think you know, once we're open up fully, you know, some of the strategies and the tactics that we have is to really you know, increase that number. That is why the extension of the days is something that we've looked into, because again,
but you want to be careful with extension, because you don't want to dilute the quality of the product.
Well, definitely don't want to dilute it. But you know, we feel
I understand the more the merrier concept.
The merrier.
People want more and all that stuff, but at the same time,
exactly,
you know, you want to make sure that the content, you know, qualitatively. Right, right. I mean, quantitative is good, but the qualitative dynamic has to be respected. Technically,
right.
Commissioner, you were correct when you said 1920, because you were talking about 2019 and 2020.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So
when I thought about it, it was more about, you know, how it was heard, because when we hear 1920, we're talking 100 years before, you know what I'm saying? But you were correct. 1920, yeah, you were correct. You're right. So we're good with that. So check this out, right? Overall, I need to ask this question, because we take things for granted. How's the department overall? Everybody doing well? How the employees? You protecting protecting employees, all that stuff?
Yeah, everything is we're doing well. I think you know, we the department on a whole takes pride in being able to assist you know, the territory and a quality of place that we have. I attribute that to Mr. Biggs at EDA, quality of place, in the sense that, you know, things are much better in the U.S. Virgin Islands from an economic standpoint than many of our brethren in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of tourism.
Stop right there. I had on the governor Friday. Right, and I, because you know, even though I'm trying to work my way out of the politics, you know, it kind of intervenes us. So sometimes I get involved in it. Right, remember the article back in September? I referenced the article with the governor, where remember they had this module or this model that projected us to have a significant impact in on the wrong side of COVID-19 with cases and deaths, because we were struggling in August and September, right?
Yeah, we shut down.
They had us minimum 340 deaths, on the low end of the model, right? And of course, they forgot, though, they didn't know that half the population don't really live with each other, because water to separate us. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
That the real lesson to be learned there was, study all the dynamics. Don't just look at models and apply them to every jurisdiction, because it doesn't work that way, right? Right. But having said that, though, the overall management from a data standpoint has been exemplary. So the question now is, are we maxing it out? And I would venture to say that that answer is probably yes, comfortably so, based on what we're seeing, 27 flights a day into St. Thomas, runway rampack with airlines, improved numbers on St. Croix based on the same article that I referenced. The question is, how long do you think it's going to last for? And isn't there a likelihood that this could be well into the summer months when typically we don't have these numbers?
Yes. Well, first off, we are doing extremely well in both districts. Occupancies in the hotels in St. Thomas, St. John are over 90%. I just found out the numbers from St. Croix. St. Croix is running mid-80s, which is exceptional for being in April of any year, much less a pandemic.
Yeah.
Airlift into the territory is very strong for the summer. We have airlifting that's up over 30% in St. Thomas from the better comparison year, which is the summer 19. Of course, the summer 20 was the aberration with the pandemic. St. Thomas is up 30%. St. Croix is up 50%. So we definitely do not see a drop-off for this summer. We see it being very robust. You know, a combination of things, factors, vaccination rate, numbers are up in the U.S., as well as the fact that people are pent up. They've been in-house for over a year. They're ready to travel. Many have saved up money. Of course, you got the stimmies that are coming out. Mm-hmm. People have cash to travel. And then lastly, I think that there is a better knowledge of the virus. You know what you can do, you know what you can't do. I think the CDC, as well as the territory and as well as the United States, continue to be fluid. Yesterday, the CDC came out and said that if you're vaccinated, you could move around outside without a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing signals back toward normalcy. And, of course, what that means to us in the travel and hospitality industry, that means people are going to be traveling. And these leisure guests, which we are driven by, are going to be traveling. So all our numbers show very, very strong for the summer. The expected occupancy numbers are very high in both districts. And then the last question you asked is, what are we doing going forward?
Mm-hmm.
Our team has already begun the process to focus on the summer and the winter season. So we have begun in-market events. We have a whole schedule of events to move across the United States to support the airlift. Because I think that's one of the things people sometimes overlook. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, on a Saturday in March, February, March, April, is 28 direct or nonstop flights into St. Thomas from
28 or so, no?
28.
And a Saturday, 28 flights into Rock City, 28.
Right. And in St. Croix, you know, we had 6. And sometimes, you know, we get into this St. Thomas, St. Croix.
We're not going there.
But I just try to tell people that the St. Croix situation, the camp for St. Croix is not St. Thomas. The camp for St. Croix right now, from a leisure guest tourism standpoint, is St. Kitts,
yes.
Antigua,
yeah.
Curacao.
Yeah.
And St. Croix has more weekly seats from the United States into St. Croix than those other destinations.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Again, we just have to make sure we have the context set correctly.
We got to send the president joining the conversation here, because she's going to be on in hour number two. So she's been there. Pumping fist when she hit it, when she hit the numbers. Like I was saying, St. Thomas, the numbers over there.
Yeah,
with the 28 flights a day. That's a good thing. Good morning, Madam President. How are you?
Good morning.
Get closer to the microphone so people can hear that voice. So you'll pull it to you. Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah, so there we go. So that's the notorious voice right there. So good. So we're talking about tourism. I want to ask it. Yeah. Just need a gavel now, right? I got a question to ask you. We're going to go to a break. As a matter of fact, Madam President, is it okay if I hold on to the commissioner for like 5 minutes into your 9 to 10 so we can wrap up this conversation?
Cause absolutely. Tourism is part of that. You're talking to the tourism commissioner?
Yeah, he's on right now. Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad he's on with you.
You got a whip to apply.
I got a whip for him, yes.
We good. What I wanted to think about, commissioner, something I spoke to you about before. We're in the summer months. Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, all those places, they're looking for places to travel because it's ridiculously hot there in the summertime, and it's we hot down here, but we got breeze and people want to travel down here as well. So think about that marketing. We'll come back. We got the president of the legislature joining us. Analyze this, like I said, hump day. We'll be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.